Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are now in lesson 130 in John chapter 8 in verse 42. Jesus Christ was saying to the people that believed in him, and some of them did not, and some were persecuting him, and some were halfway, whichever it may be, speaking to a mixed group there. And so he says to them, if God were your father, in other words, generally speaking, if you really obeyed him, when you obey God, you will become his son. When you don't, you are not. It's simple as that. You see? And it's not like, you know, those bigots and hypocrites, you know, they call the Jews, you know, sons of the devil because he told them, you know, you're of your father the devil. Any one of us is the son of the devil when we commit sin. That's what he says by that. You see? Any one of us. Saul was, you know, son of the devil until, you know, became the Apostle Paul. And then even then he said, I know what is good and I don't find myself doing it. That means, you know, there are times when this is what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You see? Although, you know, the devil is not going to let go. Just because God calls us, he's not going to let go. He's going to continue to infest our minds and our hearts with poison, with evil, with malice, with darkness. You see? He didn't let go of David just because he was a prophet of God and a servant of God and a king of Israel and a righteous man that God loved very much and used everybody, you know, he used him as a measuring stick for the righteousness in the kings of Judah or Israel. And so he got to him, to the man of God, prophet of God. And he caused him to murder and then commit adultery. You know, first committed adultery and then he murdered. Well, in that he was not the son of the Father, he was the son of the devil. So understand what it means. A lot of people in their ignorance don't. Being hypocrites and bigoted and full of darkness, you know, they just pinpointed the Jews and said, well, you're all the sons of the devil. All of them were. Were accusing the Jew. They themselves were the sons of the devil, from the greatest to the least in their church. And to this very day they are. And all of us are. When we obey sin instead of righteousness. That's as simple as that. So let's understand what he's talking about here and what he's not saying. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. And Moses told Israel, as you read in Deuteronomy, you're all the sons of God. You know, what he means by that? Well, you know, when you're obedient to God, you're going to be his sons. When you don't, you're going to be the sons of the one that you obey. So if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. So I didn't come, you know, to invent a new religion, start a new religion, call it Christianity, and have followers after myself. I'm not doing my own thing. I'm not speaking my own words. He sent me. He gave me, you know, the commission. He told me what to say. He taught me how to live my life. You see, it's all of him. I know two religions, one of the Father and one of the Son, and two different gods, two different Bibles, one Old Testament, one New Testament. You see, all these lies that people swallowed and still believe to this very day came by what God called in Revelation 17 the great whore. That church that rose, false church. You know, first it was, you know, persecuted, the beginning, even though by then they were not obedient to the law of God, they were doing their own thing, but in either case, you know, Rome didn't like them. Used them politically and as pawns and killed many of them, martyred many of them. And among them were also the righteous ones, but they were the minority, you know, genuine disciples of Christ. You see, and after that, there was a change of heart, and an emperor decided that he likes this group, because politically he was going to use them and alter their teachings to fit his own, in order to control the entirety of the empire, you see. And he's the one that gave them the possibility to reign over the whole empire, and now it became a church-state religion. You see? And that became known later on as the Catholic Church, Universal Church. And they've got all those hundreds and hundreds of millions of them, you know, out there. And then, you know, some segments didn't like it, you know, even in the old days, they separated and they didn't want to go along with all the lies there. And the authority of the Bishop of Rome, and they created, you know, their own factions there. And then out of that came the Reformers, Reformation. You see, who on one hand continued to welcome the same lies, on the other hand, they didn't want to be under the dominion of Rome, and, you know, wanted to understand things in a different way and began to read the Bible. But still, That's what God says. This is the great whore, the mother of harlots. Many churches came out of her, and yet they're harlots. They're not virgins. They're not righteous. They continue to walk in the same lies, and they believe the same lies to this very day. You see? That's what Christ is talking about. Also, not only that momentary confrontation he had there with some people, his own people, knowledgeable that is on one hand and ignorant on the other. So they are to this very day. So he says, why don't you understand my speech? You see? Why? Because you are not able to listen to my word. And to this very day, people are not able to listen to his word. Oh, the claim is, we listen to his word. It's just a Jewish religion we don't like. Well, his word is so-called Jewish religion. Salvation is of the Jews. He's the lawgiver who gave it to Israel through Moses. You see? He's the angel of the Lord. He's the messenger of the Lord. There is no other. There is no division there between him and the Father. So he says, verse 44, something he says to every single one of us. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And whenever we commit sin, whenever we show malice, bigotry, gossip, you see, all these things are transgression against the law of God. What spirit is in us that causes us to do that? And oftentimes we enjoy it. We enjoy harming people, speaking evil of them. Well, now that's the reason why they went about, destroying anybody that didn't agree with them. And call them all kind of names, among other things. To the Jews, they say, you are of your father, the devil. And they considered everybody who was not a believer as a son of the devil, you see. And then you find another religion rising in the 6th century using the same, the same terminology there. Everybody else is son of the devil, we are the faithful. Well, the same spirit is in all of us. When we give ourselves and minds and hearts to it, and so we begin to talk like our father, the devil. And we persecute and murder and bleed and destroy and hate one another. And we do not realize that the devil deceives the whole world. So he gives anybody whatever religion they want, as long as they serve him. Until the real Creator, the Lord of Lords, comes down to this earth and brings utter destruction to all these religions. And, as the scripture makes it very plain, more than 90% of humanity is going to be obliterated at that point. Those who would remain are not going to be rebellious anymore. You see, they either obey and knee, and bend their knee and bow down before him or else. No more playing games at that time, because there isn't going to be any devil around or demons or any false prophets or deceivers or whatever. At this point, this is where we are. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father. You have to understand where all those things come. These are his desires. He injects them into us. And the desires of your father you want to do. You see? We like it, so we do it. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. What is it that made him a murderer? When you allow hatred into your heart, pride, arrogance, you begin to rebel against God. You see? As John again would say, that he who hates his brother is already a murderer. And the truth is not in him. He's a liar if he claims to be a servant of God. And how much hatred is in the heart of many that claim to be the servants of God, good Christians. And they turn around and hate everybody else that is different than they are. Now, that's insanity. They're all murderers and they don't realize who is their father, their true father. They think that God is their father. Well, he created us yet, but spiritually he's not if we disobey his law. We become the children of the devil. And so he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. And so his children obviously are not going to stand in the truth. A mixture of truth and error, yes, but not the truth. Because there is no truth in him. Ultimately speaking, even though he appears as an angel of light and he's got all these ministers preaching a measure of righteousness, by definition, he's a liar. He's a murderer. He doesn't speak the truth, no matter how much truth he has in his religion, with which, he deceives men. You see, there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources or his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, how many of us lie? All of us do, one way or the other. You know, white lies, omission, commission, not telling the whole truth when we, you know, we said we are going to. And we deceive ourselves, you know, and we tell half lies and things like that. That's in our nature. Where did we get it from? From our father, the devil, not from God. Even the people of God, no matter how faithful they are. You see, we're still suspect to it, because the devil is not gone yet. And it takes a long time to uproot that evil nature that he gave us from the moment we were born, so to speak. And it takes an awful long time. That's the process of conversion. It takes a long time. That's why through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom, because it takes a long time to get it out of our system. And we have to be willing to acknowledge that. He that claims he has no sin, as John said again, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. All of us commit iniquity and sin and lie and deceive and do this and do that. That you look at people like that and say, how can they be the people of God? Well, because salvation is a process. We're being saved every day as we commit ourselves to God and we repent. We're repentant sinners. That's what genuine members of the body of Christ are called, repentant sinners. Not repentant people, period, but we're still sinners. Of course, you know, when they use that cliche, what they mean by that, well, I used to be a sinner, now I'm repentant, you know, I'm serving God, I'm a servant of God. No, that's not what it means. And its reality is, that means that we are still sinning. As Paul would say, you know, I'm a chief sinner. And, you know, what a wretched man that I am. Only God can deliver me from this. These are the people that God works with. They're not perfect. You know, we make mistakes, and sometimes willingly. You see? So we want to do it at times because of that nature that is in us. You know, just because you say, well, I'm not going to smoke anymore. I don't want to take drugs anymore. You see, I'm not going, you know, if I'm an alcoholic, I don't want to drink anymore. Doesn't mean that that is not in us, in our body, and takes a long time. You know, as alcoholics, you know, they know that, you know, you're just a reformed alcoholic, but you remain alcoholic for the rest of your life. It's in your system, in your blood. You don't get rid of it, so you keep away from it. That's what they do. That's the only way to get, you know, get away from it. So is the nature of sin. It's in us. It will be in us until the day we die, in Christ. You see? So only through Christ who washes us daily, saves us daily, cleanses us, purifies us by his washing of the word, which is his law, his teachings, as we walk in them, and by spirit, and through that, the process of salvation will be complete. So we have to understand that, because most people, unfortunately, are led astray, led away, you know, in their stupidity, you know, and silliness, and they believe lies, and they want to feel about themselves, well, I'm good, I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. You know, we are a Christian nation. We're good people. You see? No one is good but God. We, as Christ said, you being evil, know how to give good gifts. This is where we are, and we'll stay that way gradually, less and less and less, until there is a total healing and cleansing and purging and purification of our sins. Well, that's a long time process. That's where tribulation and suffering and pain and sorrow to, you know, to remove those things from us, to purify us. And so that's what he's saying to them. Yeah, you know, you are the father of the devil. You know, he tells a lie and everybody tells the truth. But because I tell you the truth, he said, verse 45, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is not of God, that is, he who is of God, hears God's words. It's as simple as that. The reason why people reject the law of God, because they are not of God. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And so he says to every single one of us, when we reject his teachings, his law, you see, his Sabbath, his holidays, his laws about clean and unclean, and so forth, and many other things. We are not of God. We can kid ourselves all, you know, we want that we are. We are of another God, the God of this world, as the Apostle Paul would call him, the devil. Verse 48, then the Jews answered and said to him, now you have to understand who is the Jews. Again, he's going to the leaders of the Jews. Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? There it is, accuse their own God of being of the devil. You know, first they call him a Samaritan, which is stupidity. How can he be a Samaritan? He's a Jew like anybody else. Well, they say, well, you come from Galilee, and you're just as good as a Samaritan. You see, in their own mind, they're so confused, and obviously these are the ones who believed in him. Yeah, they're all mixed together in that group. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. You know, at this point, if he was haughty and arrogant like many others, he said, now, wait a minute, how dare you call me the Son of God, you know, as having a demon, you see? I'm going to show you who I am. Now he continued and he kept his cool. We must learn to do likewise. After all, they're blind and ignorant. You know, they're drunk in their own foolishness. They don't know what they're saying. He's not about to, you know, lash at them and take it on them. He still loved them, in spite of them. And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. See, when you dishonor him, you dishonor the Father. And I do not, verse 50, seek my own glory, in contrast to you. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, that is my Torah, he shall never see death. That's what he's talking about. If people don't believe it. And yet they think, you know, well, when I die and I'm a good guy, I'm going to heaven. You see? Well, that's insanity again. Verse 52, then the Jews said to him, again, the leaders of the Jews, not the ones who believed in him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Why would they say that? For the simple reason, they all knew. No. When you die, you die. You go to the grave and that's it. That's the end of it. You're not going to live forever, you know, in heaven or in hell. That's exactly what they were saying. That's the understanding of the time. Nobody believed in going to heaven. There was no such a doctrine in Judaism at the time. That came later on and became a part of Judaism. And now people take it for granted. You see? That's why Judaism is not the religion of God. It's full of pagan doctrines mixed with the truth. God does not accept it. You see? That goes for all of us in any given religion. Verse 53. You say, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? He's not alive. He's not in heaven. He didn't taste eternal life. You see? He's dead. And the prophets are dead. They're not in heaven. They're dead. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me. You see? Because I am of the same nature and mind. Of whom you say that he is your God. You claim that he is your Father. Yet he is my Father because I honor him and serve him. If I didn't honor him, I wouldn't be his son either, like you. This is what he's saying to them. Verse 55, yet you have not known him, but I know him. You really don't know God. Because only way to know God is by obeying his Torah. There is no other way. You see? And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. It's his religion. It's not my religion. It's not Christianity. It's his religion. And yet nobody in mainstream Christianity believes the words of Jesus Christ. They in essence call Jesus Christ a liar, who made it very plain all the time. We've got one religion here. There's no new religion. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. And the Jews said to him, you are not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? You see, again, totally carnal, never got it, never understood it, in contrast to the others in the group that understood and believed and knew that he's the Son of God, and believed that he's the Redeemer, you see. So it's a mixed group there all the time. And you have to understand always, you know, to whom is he talking and who is the one doing the talking here back and forth. And so the Jews said, you know, you're not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, he was telling them, you see, the one that spoke to Moses, to Abraham, was I am, as he told Moses. They're going to ask you, what is your name? What is, you know, his name? Because Moses said, you know, I'll go to them, tell them, well, God spoke to me. Well, who is that God? You know, Israel had gone into idolatry, total idolatry, rank idolatry. They believed many gods. So what God are we talking about? So I told them, you know, that he told Moses, you go tell them, I am, Anochi. These are the words that he used. He didn't say, I am. He said, you see, in the line, like you find... You go to the translation there, you know, and you find the word I am. You see, I am means ani. He used the word anochi, which is another way of saying ani, I am, you know, the poetic form. That's what he used. And then he told them, you tell them, I am, spoke to you. And then he told them, through Moses, I will be that I will be. Ehyeh asher ehyeh. You see? And he didn't say, I am that I am. Again, a perversion there that was inserted in the Bible by men of ignorance. He didn't say, I am that I am. He said, I will be that I will be. Whatever I'm going to do is going to declare my name, my glory, my power. You see? That's what he said then. And yet that perversion is still in the Bible to this very day, unfortunately, by people that claim to be the servants of God. Verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him. Now these are the ones that believed him. These are not the ones that acknowledge the fact that he is the Son of God, he's the deliverer. These are the ones that were not willing to acknowledge it, and therefore, when he said, I am, they knew exactly what he said. I'm God. I'm the God that came and spoke to you in Mount Sinai. The God of Moses, the God of Abraham. And now for them, they said, well, that's ultimate in blasphemy. And what do you do with a person in accordance with the law of God when he blasphemes? What is it that they've done with Stephen? They stoned him. What is it that they were going to do now with Jesus Christ? Verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him. They were going to kill him, because that's the death penalty that you give to a blasphemer, you see, one that speaks blasphemy against God. You don't see any crucifixion here. They were not saying, now wait a minute, you know, he blasphemed, you've got to crucify him. You see, no. The penalty for blasphemy was against stoning. Put them to death that way. And then, you know, they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Of course, that was not the time. Here it is in the very temple of God. They went out, you know, picked up some rocks, came back in, and were going to kill him right there on the spot. And that was allowed. In the law of God, it was allowed. There were several people before that were killed right there, you know, either by stones or, you know, were knifed. Just like Joab, you know, the chief of staff of David, when Solomon took over. You see, and Joab, you know, fled into the temple and was holding on the horns of the altar. Well, that didn't do him any good. Solomon said, okay, he's in the temple, doesn't want to get out. Of course, at the time, it was still the tabernacle. But still, the same thing, temple of God, holy place. He told his commander, you go over there and kill him right there on the spot. Well, they were going to kill him right on the spot, you know, by stoning. Yet God first didn't want it to be done at this point, because that's not the time. Second, he wanted him crucified, not stoned. So, two reasons why they couldn't do it. And so, going through the midst of them, and he saw Pastor, you know, he passed by, took off. That's not the time to stick around. You see? And chapter 9, verse 1, now as Jesus passed by, he came out of the temple, went into the market, you know, lots of people, so you get lost in the crowd because he doesn't look like people say, well, Jesus Christ with the long hair, blonde eyes, you know, blue eyes, that is blonde hair, blue eyes, and things like that with a halo above his head, you know, wearing white, you know, the way they picture him, idol worshippers, that's all it is. He didn't look like, you know, he looked like any other Jew, and so there was no way to recognize him once he, you know, went into the crowd. That's exactly what happened here. So he went to the crowd, and nobody knew who he was from Adam at that point. So he was able to sneak out, and he did it many times like that. And at that point, you know, as he goes out there, his disciples are around him, and he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now those guys were spiritually blind, but they could see physically. This man was physically blind, but he was going to prove to be a man who really saw. You see, he had spiritual eyesight. And so, Christ, knowing that person, what's his nature, he came to him. This man was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, so his disciples are along with him, you know, as they snuck out of the temple, saying, Rabbi, you see, he's a rabbi. As I mentioned earlier, how many people, you know, in so-called, you know, the Christian world, you know, want to be called a rabbi? Why not? What's wrong with that? If Jesus is a rabbi, it's good enough for him, it's not good enough for you. John was a rabbi, you see. Teacher. And he was a teacher. John was a teacher. Anybody that teaches the word of God, you know, that's the terminology he used. He's a teacher. That's what it means, rabbi. But they say, oh, no, no, we don't want to have any of that. We don't have anything Jewish, you see. That's the idea. We don't have anything Jewish. You see, rabbi is a Jewish. We're not going to use it. Well, they forgot that Jesus Christ is a rabbi, and so was John and many others. Rabbi Saul became Rabbi Paul, so forth. So they say, rabbi, who sinned? this man or his parents, because, you know, reality is very simple. It's either he did something wrong or his parents did something wrong, and that's the way generally is the case. You know, either him or society or somebody around him, you know, they became blind. And he said, that is, they said to him, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now people look at that and say, now, what do you say by that? It's weird. You mean God had this poor child, you know, blind all of his life? So that where's, you know, somewhere down the road that Jesus Christ can walk by, you know, and see him and bring him health? What kind of God is that? You see? Well, people do not know God. They don't like that. And people will claim to know God and they read about that and say, that's not fair. No, it's not fair. It's right. It was right that it would be done that way from the point of view of God, and that's all that matters. So his works may be manifested. You see? That's totally contrary to our thinking. That's why God said, look, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So stop thinking your way and think that you understand me. And you cannot worship me with your own thoughts and your own ways. If people want to do it. That's why we've got so many religions. That's why the devil is so successful. Knowing the way we function. And so he says, nobody sinned, neither him, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. You know, while it's possible, well, you know, we are allowed to do it. And then the hour of darkness is going to be given to the devil, and he's going to now swoop in, and that'll be the end. I wouldn't be able to preach at that time. Well, so it happens also with his people. Now and then, you see, they are able to proclaim the truth, but then when God allows the devil and his demons to swoop in, then he allows, you know, the followers of the devil, even though they don't think they are, they think they're the servants of God, to be in charge in essence, and the hour of darkness is there. And then they shut down the mouth, you know, the servants of God. It's been happening like that from the beginning of time. That's what he's saying here. Today, we, you know, we'll have freedom in this country. We have freedom in the world, at least to a degree. You don't have it everywhere. You know, you try to say these kind of things. And in some places, you know, they'll put you to death on the spot. But as long as the freedom is given there, you know, the servants of God are commanded to speak in the open. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up the voice like a trumpet, as he told Isaiah. Tell my people their sins and their iniquities, you see. I'd give them a smooth talk, you know, the sweet song of the serenade, you see. So forth. But that's what people do, the false prophets. And so he says, basically, this is a reality. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And that happened many times in the lives of the people of God. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. How is he the light of the world? You know, if he was disobedient to his father, he would be the darkness of the world, just like the devil. But when you walk in the law of God, in righteousness, in purity, in truth, obedient to his law and commandments, every jot, every tittle, you know, that is in the law, he's obeyed by Jesus Christ, and he never transgressed anything. He was blameless without sin. This is what makes him the light. That's what makes every single one of us a light to the world. You see, when the law of God is obeyed, this is what makes us the light of the world. When we transgress the law of God, we are the darkness, not the light of the world. So when Christ lives his life in us, it is through his law, through his Torah, which is spirit. So whether you talk about the Holy Spirit or you talk about his law, he's talking about the same thing. You see, Christ is the epitome of the Torah. And the Holy Spirit is what the law of God is all about. It leads you to truth, to light, not to darkness, not to lies and deceptions. Verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made a clay with the saliva. Again, you know, look at that and think, that's weird. Why not just say, well, be you healed? You know, that's it. Well, Christ chose to do it in different ways. It's only up to God to decide which way he's going to do it. Everything has a purpose and a reason. We don't always understand it. And so he anointed the eyes of the blind with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. There was a pool there that people went to be purified. That was a pool of purification. That's what he told him to go. So he had works to do. You see, there is no faith without works. And people say, oh, well, you don't need works, just believe. That was his work. Just as Christ was doing his works, we must do our works. We've been created to good works. You see, the false prophets will tell you, you don't need works, works of the law. Well, that was a command. That was a law he gave him. You go wash. That's a law. And what he did was the work of the law. So he went. So he says, you go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. That's what the pool was called, Shiloam. That means sent. And so he went and washed. Actually, the word, you know, sent means shalach or nishlach. I don't know how they ended up with Siloam. Shiloach, that was the real name, not Siloam, but Shiloach. Shiloach means sent. Well, people perverted that too, invented their own word there. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. So when did the miracle occur? Not at that point. You see, he had to live by faith and obey Christ and had to do his works. And when he did, and he touched the water, that's when it happened. Then he came back and he was already seeing at this point, not blind anymore. You see? So Christ was waiting for him. You go over there and he did it. He obeyed. He didn't say, that's stupid. You know, what do you mean? You put clay in my eyes. You know, what's the matter with you? You know, if you're Jesus Christ, you heal me right here on the spot. No. He didn't say, my will be done, but thy will. He went and did it anyway, no matter how strange it was. He obeyed. He kept the works. He did what he was told. He was obedient to the law of God. At this point, that was the law that he gave him. And so he came back seeing. That's the only way you're going to be able to see spiritually, when you are obedient to the law of God. There is no other way. Therefore, the neighbors, those who previously had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he who sat and begged? You know, they all recognized him, but you know, when, if you ever see a blind person, you know, he looks in a certain way, and then, you know, when his eyes open and he sees like everybody else, you begin to wonder. So they did. Some said, this is he. He looks exactly the same. Who else could he be? Others said, he's like him. And he said, I am he. You see? Otherwise, there was a division there between these two people because each relied, you know, on certain facts, and they could not agree. And therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus. He still didn't know who that person is. A man called Jesus. He didn't say the Son of God, the Prophet, the Redeemer of Israel, the Messiah. Just a man called Jesus. He said, and his name was Jesus. He made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloach and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. That's what Peter was saying. Repent and be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that is going to open your eyes. That's exactly what he was doing here. You see? How do you repent? By obeying the law of God. You see? Acknowledging your sinfulness and turn around and obey the law of God. That's what he was saying here. I went. I washed. You see? So you got to go. You got to be baptized. And he was baptized. You see, you got to repent first and get baptized. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he did. That's exactly what happened there. And that's what happened to every single one of us. When we first repent, then we are baptized. You see, physically is by the water, but spiritually by the word of God. And then we receive eyesight. Now, that's why many times we don't understand many scriptures or passages in the Bible. We're not willing to go through the process. We say, oh, no, I'm right. What I'm saying is okay. What I'm doing is okay. What my church taught me is all okay. I'm not going to change that. Well, if you are not, you're not going to be washed by the word that is given to you, and therefore you will never receive your eyesight. It happens to every single one of us when we refuse to go through this process. Verse 12, then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now they bring him to the leaders. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So it was on the Sabbath day that he was having all this discussion in the temple. Because, you know, people came to serve God, you know, and the sacrifices were given at that time and people were praying. And after that it was over. And then people stick around and, you know, the law is being taught by different people. And so this is what was happening then. See? And The healing also took place immediately after that as he went out of the temple. So it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees who also asked him again how he had received his eyesight, and he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. That means that he works. But from the point of view, you're not supposed to do any works on the Sabbath, because that's what the law says. Well, the law says that, but the law also gave us examples of an ox in a ditch. You see, well, acts of mercy, grace, that's the nature of God, not only law, you know, just do, and don't, you know, there is grace, there is feelings and emotions on the part of God. He knows this and that and the other thing. It doesn't mean that we play games with his law and, you know, every time, you know, use an excuse, well, just another ox in a ditch. You see, that would be foolishness, that's mocking God. And so he said, well, that's what he told me. I did exactly as he told me. I went through the process, and here it is. I see. You know, in essence, he's saying, I see, you don't. But therefore, some of the Pharisees said, not all of them, but some of them, this man is not of God, because many of the Pharisees believed in him. Others did not. They were always in the minority. And so here are the some again. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, because he does not keep the Sabbath, which is foolish. What do you mean does not keep the Sabbath? He didn't go to work, make a living. Others said, how can a man who is, of the Pharisees, as we read before, many believed in him, others had questions, and some didn't believe him. Well, again, you see that in reverse. Some who didn't believe in him were the Pharisees. Others of the Pharisees who did believe in him, they said, now, wait a minute, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? So they understood and perceived and believed. And there was a division among them, because the Pharisees were always divided. Many followed him, or the Pharisees, some did not. And that was the situation there all the time. So any time you read the scriptures there, you have to understand what is going on. You know, if you are not there in person, at least, you know, read the scriptures, put them all together, and begin to understand it better. You see, instead of believing in all kind of lies that others have taught you, without even thinking. And so, some say, you know, others said, you know, how can a man be a sinner and do such things? And there was a division among them. Well, naturally, you're going to have a division there when many walk in the truth and others don't. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? Now, these are the some that did not believe. He said he's a prophet. And very plain for him, because now he has not only physical eyesight, but now he has also spiritual eyesight. And these people refused it because of their disobedience. They are blind. Verse 18, but the Jews, again, speaking by the leaders, you know, while the other leaders were not of the same spirit, but the Jews, you know, the ones that didn't believe the some, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And still, you know, did not believe. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? And apparently, his parents were not aware of what was happening, you see, fully. And so they're brought before them, and they questioned them, and his parents are terrorized at this point. And so they ask them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? Does he now see? In other words, unless a miracle happened, this cannot happen. So maybe you are lying. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. All that we know. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. You see? Maybe he'd never seen his parents since God, you know, healed him, since Jesus Christ healed him. And so, you know, here it is, a great shock for them. You know, they went and fetched his parents, because obviously he was not living with them. And so they say, you know, by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Making very plain they didn't know all this time. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they fear the Jews. Now, the reality is, as mentioned several times, until the age of 13, you see, a child is accountable to none. His parents become accountable for his deeds. But after he passes the age of what is called the bar mitzvah, you see, son of the commandment, now he's called of age. Now he's accountable for his own deeds, and he can speak for himself. So in essence, that's what they're talking about. You know, he's not a child. You know, he's of age. You know, he passed 13. He's accountable to the community and before God. You ask him, what do you ask us? So his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, that is, you know, those among them, the leaders, not everybody else, that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. As Christ told them, you neither are willing to walk into the kingdom, nor are you allowing others to come in. So where is the great guilt there? It's not on the part of the people, you know, who generally, there's multitudes that followed Christ, but this is what the leaders do, and that's what the leaders do in every given religion on the face of the earth. They are the ones that stand in the gap and prevent the children of God from coming to their God, to the truth, to the light, so they can maintain their own power and sway over them, because they live at their expense. They're parasites, you see? And they do not want to lose that, you know, luxury, that livelihood that they have, you see? And I'm going to let go. And that is the case in every given religion. And these are the people generally that the devil, you know, takes advantage of. Once he's got the leaders, he's got, you know, those people, you know, many times they may think that this is the truth because, you know, others told them likewise. You were the leaders before them. And so they believe the lie and pass it on. And now they're not going to allow anybody in. You see? And to this very day, that's the same. You take this knowledge and understanding, give it to your minister, give it to your priest, give it to anybody else, give it to your rabbi. You see? What do you think they're going to do? They're not going to bow down before God and give him thanks and accept it. No, no. They're going to spit in your face. If you continue to walk in that way, they'll throw you out. Throw you out of the church, throw you out of the synagogue, throw you out of whatever. You know, if you're a Muslim, you believe in that. You know, if you dare take it to the mosque and give it before the religious, you know, leaders, the clerics, the imams or whatever, that's, you know, something's going to happen to you. You know, if you are lucky, they'll throw you out, and if you are not, they'll kill you on the spot. Now, a lot of people in the Middle East would do it to this very day in other parts of the world. You see? Why? Because they're not of God. Because they are of another spirit. You see? And the deeds of their father they're going to do, thinking that it is right. You see? They're not going to do it because they think they're wrong. Many, you know, in some cases they may think they're wrong, but they'll do it anyway to keep their position and power. But in most cases they're totally blind. They don't know any better themselves and actually believe that light is darkness and darkness is light and good is evil and evil is good and so forth. And so they look at God and think he's the devil, and they look at the devil and think he's God. That's why you've got confusion on this earth, and all kind of terrorism and war and bloodshed and has been going on from the beginning of time. And so, this is where these parents find themselves, being threatened by these people who already agreed that anybody who's going to confess Christ is going to be thrown out of the synagogue. And in those days, to be thrown out of the synagogue, and likewise in Orthodox communities worldwide, if you are being thrown out of the religious community, you're out. Nobody's going to talk to you, not even your own family. You see, you can do business, you can do this, you can do that, you know, if you are lucky. And if you are not, they'll just put you to death. That's the way it was. That's unfortunately the way it is to this very day in many places. And it shall be even so much more so as we approach the days of the coming of Christ. Because God is going to allow again the devil and his demons to do their work again one last time upon this earth. And the hour of darkness again is going to descend, and people will not be able to speak the truth anymore. And if you do, you'll be put to death. You see, and the martyrdom is coming all over again. So, for those of us, you know, who want to follow Christ, as he told us, you better count the cost. It's not going to be easy. You know, and be willing to endure until the end, even unto death, if need be. And by your own strength, you aren't going to be able to do it, you know, for most of us, anyway. Some people are able to do it no matter what, even though they have no religion. They're faithful unto death, and they're not going to divulge any information. You know, they're being tortured and tormented, and they die, and they don't say a word. Most of us cannot do that. And so the parents are in this category here. And therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God glory. Well, he was already giving God the glory. They are the ones who have a problem with it. We know that this man is a sinner. You know, we know that. You see? Well, all leaders, all, you know, in all religions are going to tell you exactly the same. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know, which actually he really did. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. To him, it's as simple as that. So obviously he knows he's not a sinner. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And that did it for him. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And Moses' disciples, you know, at this point they were going to throw him out, but let him talk a little bit more. And so they say, we know that God spoke to Moses. Well, the God that spoke to Moses is the one that they're talking about. They didn't know it. But as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. And it's an irony that he is the one that was blind and now sees spiritually, not only physically, and they are in total blindness. Well, anyway, and so it is with most of the religious leaders to this very day. Anyway, we'll stop at this point again. Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all.